born on the Nativity of Our Blessed Mother and celebrating 10 years on the air, The Winds of Change.
Marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Seems like we've been gone for a long time, but it's good to be back. I was in meetings all week. We're preparing for the Renew My Church. The groupings have been expedited. Yeah, talk about that at some point, maybe today or tomorrow, and in the weeks to come.
Right.
See what all that means. But it's a project that's been underway for, I think, 5 years already, believe it or not, here in Chicago. And I guess during this time of the pandemic, the Cardinal wants to expedite the process. Really, some very stark data on the state of the archdiocese, which is something we all basically know, but we don't necessarily want to admit to the fact that so there's been such a decrease in the practice of the faith. And but when you really look at the hardcore data, it really, in some places, it absolutely necessitates creativity and change, where you have to, in order to save the church. It's not just about saving the church. In fact, they don't like you to use that. Saving one's own, let's say, a personal parish, we're part of the bigger church, the archdiocese, and then, of course, part of the universal church, the Catholic Church. Now, that's not in any way to diminish the absolute gift and need of the parish. The parish is, but it's how do you make a parish, how do you bring people together in a parish where there is vitality and vibrancy and there's growth, and it's Renew My Church. He uses the image of the cross, the San Damiano cross. Is that what they call it? It's the Franciscan cross. It's when St. Francis had his conversion experience in the church of San Damiano. I believe it was in that church where he heard the call. And Jesus says, Francis, I want you to rebuild my church. And so Francis set out. He was deeply moved, converted, and he set out and he went to the little church of, I think it was called St. Mary of the Angels, or there was that's what they call the big church, but within that church is the, I don't remember what they call it. It's a little church. It was, at the time, dilapidated. It was down in the valley, at the foot of the hill where Assisi was, and so he thought, okay, that little church has fallen apart. So he got his friends, and they began to rebuild the church brick by brick. And God says, "No, Francis, I want you to rebuild my church." In other words, my church is dying, spiritually dying. It needs to be spiritually rejuvenated. And so he understood that it was about the souls. Now, that isn't in any way, again, to diminish the need for sacred space, because we certainly have here a beautiful sacred space. In fact, what we're calling our grouping, because our grouping is St. John Cantius, Holy Trinity, and St. Stanislaus Kostka, we call it Chicago's Triptych Sanctuary, Our Lady's Triangle. But anyway, we'll discuss all this a little bit here and there as we move along. But it's When you look at the data, you know that there's something has to be done for the present spiritual and physical health of the church, and well into the future as well. It's just, you know, how it happens, how it unfolds. I think a learning experience. Certainly, mm-hmm. everybody's learning from it, and we're. As I say, because of the pandemic, it seems that they want to expedite, really kind of carry this thing through to completion.
Wow.
So it's not just, I was in 4 hours a day for 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Zoom. First time I'm doing the Zoom. So I kind of got used to it, and it was kind of nice. I, you know, I'll tell you the truth, it was kind of nice because I didn't have to go and spend the whole day. Not that it would have been bad, but
right.
I could, during the lunch break, I could just... Zoom out and go to my room and spend an hour just to prepare for the next
right.
the afternoon session.
Now, was it one of those things where they see you and you see them, or
everybody saw everybody? Yeah,
so I could see you, you know,
because you're doing that too, aren't you?
Well, not so much.
No,
I think Angelica.
Yeah,
is
the man. Yeah. So we so the 33 of us, 33 right. pastors.
Wow.
And the Cardinal came and spoke to us via the Zoom, and mm-hmm. Bishop Casey, and then the team, the Renew My Church team.
Oh.
And then it broke off into groups. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Then you break off into your little groups and all that.
See, I just can't imagine how that works.
Oh, yes. They do it. You know?
Right.
I mean, it's awkward. You know, it is right. awkward, and I'd rather be face to face with the guys and.
But there's something like it. You can have everybody there, and you don't actually have to be in the room or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like is that you see yourself. You have to kind of because I say, why does everybody else's face? Everybody looks normal, but I look completely distorted, and then you kind of got to tune yourself out.
Right.
You know. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we didn't pray, but we want to pray.
We need
to pray. And so we're praying for, we pray for we have a lot to pray for, don't we, people? We have to pray for the nation, mm-hmm. especially at this very, very critical time. This is, it feels like we're in a kind of revolution, an insurrection. There's just the unrest in the streets. The just so much that's going on, it just makes you want to stay away from the news.
Yeah.
Gosh, here in the city of Chicago, too, it's so, so sad what you see. I was out there a little bit afterwards, after the meetings, mm-hmm. and it's a crying shame. It really is. But so we got to pray for the nation, pray for the election, upcoming election. We want to pray for Renew My Church. We want to pray for, since I'm speaking from our niche, our neck of the woods, this triptych sanctuary, St. John Cantius, Holy Trinity, St. Stanislaus Kostka, we want to pray for our parishes. And, of course, everybody, you have your personal intentions as well, and there are many. And so let us, and I've just, by the way, I've just come out of a funeral, a mother of 13 children.
Wow.
Maria Robles. Do you know who she? She would be at the 10 o'clock mass
right.
with Armin and her grandchildren and grandmother of a nation, but the mother of 13 children.
Oh.
And I've known her all the years that I'm here. I remember when I had mass in her home back in the early days, and she was deeply devoted, always praying before the Blessed Sacrament, and. Just a wonderful, wonderful person. I have to tell you, I went, Saturday I had as every day is mm-hmm. a busy day, and I just finished a baptism. By the way, I had a baptism of the grandparents. That was the first wedding I ever had
wow.
at St. Hyacinth's. And so their son lives mm-hmm. in the neighborhood, but they had the baby baptized here, and the grandparents... came and they said, you know, you had our wedding. This
wow.
was your first wedding at St. Hyacinth's. So they brought out the picture, and I remember the vestment very much.
Wait, it's actually a picture of you?
Yes.
With
a beard
okay.
like you. I had the
yeah.
beard because I looked so young then.
Right.
I had to wear a beard. And so it was actually the vestment that I was ordained in. I
wow.
wore it for my ordination. And so it was, and they said, they were married in October.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I was ordained in May 1984. They were married in October of 1984. And then I remember, that's right, I was gone for 3 months. I had gone to Mexico mm-hmm. To learn Spanish for 3 months, and then I came back, and so, yes, it would have been my first wedding.
Wow.
So it was, and then there was some connections, too. They started talking about, they said Swaikani, but I always say Shinsane, but our families, they were part of my aunts and uncles, wow. grandparents were, they all came from this part of Poland, and they called Świętsany, and they form a group. They were very tight knit, mm-hmm. and very, very tight knit. That one generation, or two generations are already gone. They're all gone.
This is beautiful to hear how it's all those connections.
And absolutely.
You think about
yeah.
today how that's gone.
Yeah, I know. I think about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you wonder why things are the way they are now.
Yeah. You better believe. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it was quite an experience. But I left the baptism, and I had to get ready for the evening mass. Right. But I got a call that Maria Robles was dying, and if I would come and anoint her. And I thought, I can't. I don't think I'm going to make it. I can't get there and get back from mass. And after mass, it's going to be, you know, then I got to get ready for the next day, which is I got 5 masses back to back on Sunday. Starting at 7 in the morning. I could maybe get there tomorrow, like Sunday afternoon, maybe in between the masses in the afternoon. But right now, it's really. I says, let me just see if I can do it. And I went there. I anointed her. She died an hour later.
Wow.
So thank God that I was there.
Yeah.
You know, when I was there. You know. So those are, I feel like how God's providence guides us, and we just had her funeral. So it was, we pray for her, for the repose of her soul, Maria Robles, and for her 13 children and her countless number of grandchildren. I say she was a very poor woman in the eyes of the world, but very rich in God, and she really was. This is a woman of deep, deep faith. So we may God give her rest as the family goes now to lay her to rest. The deacon is Deacon Nick is going to be out there to, so I could be on the radio. Let's pray, as we're already almost 15 minutes into the program. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, hear us.
Christ graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother of Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother most pure,
pray for us.
Mother most chaste,
pray for us.
Mother inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother most amiable,
pray for us.
Mother most admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of good counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin most prudent,
pray for us. Pray for us.
Virgin most venerable.
Pray for us.
Virgin most renowned.
Pray for us.
Virgin most powerful.
Pray for us.
Virgin most merciful.
Pray for us.
Virgin most faithful.
Pray for us.
Mirror of justice.
Pray for us.
Seat of wisdom.
Pray for us.
Cause of our joy.
Pray for us.
Spiritual vessel.
Pray for us.
Vessel of honor.
Pray for us.
Singular vessel of devotion.
Pray for us.
Mystical rose.
Pray for us.
Tower of David.
Pray for us.
Tower of ivory.
Pray for us.
House of gold.
Pray for us.
Ark of the covenant.
Pray for us.
Gate of heaven.
Pray for us.
Morning star.
Pray for us.
Health of the sick.
Pray for us.
Refuge of sinners.
Pray for us.
Comfort of the afflicted.
Pray for us.
Help of Christians.
Pray for us.
Queen of angels.
Pray for us.
Queen of patriarchs.
Pray for us.
Queen of prophets.
Pray for us.
Queen of apostles.
Pray for us.
Queen of martyrs.
Pray for us.
Queen of confessors.
Pray for us.
Queen of virgins.
Pray for us.
Queen of all saints.
Pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin.
Pray for us.
Queen assumed into heaven.
Pray for us.
Queen of the most holy rosary.
Pray for us.
Queen of peace.
Pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee do we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear us and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right, everybody, very good. Let's take a break, and then we will be back. So don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDC.
All right, pets, pipe down. I've got something to say to you. Yes, that means you too. Please tell your owners that Father Anthony would like to bless all of you on Saturday, October 3rd at 9 a.m. in front of the outside cross in front of St. Stan's. And if it rains, under the school portico or the St. Francis of Assisi Blessing of the Animals. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. The Blessing of the Animals, Saturday, October 3rd at 9 a.m. at St. Stanislaus Kostka, two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. And the goldfish are welcome too.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. To register and to participate in the Holy Mass, and for more information, go to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. Thanks for being with us. Beautiful reading today, by the way, on this Thursday in the on the 25th week in Ordinary Time. And can you believe we're almost at the end of September?
No.
Wow. So today, if you're going to Mass, you'll hear this, and it's just so true. From the book of Ecclesiastes, "Vanity of vanities." Mm-hmm. Says Koheleth, "Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. What profit has man from all the labor which he toils at under the sun? One generation passes and another comes, but the world forever stays. The sun rises and the sun goes down, then it presses on to the place where it rises, blowing now toward the south, then toward the north. The wind turns again and again, resuming its rounds. All rivers go to the sea, yet never does the sea become full. To the place where they go, the rivers keep on going. All speech is labored. There is nothing one can say. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear satisfied with hearing. What has been, that will be. What has been done, that will be done. Nothing is new under the sun. Even the thing of which we say, 'Hey, see, this is new,' has already existed in the ages that preceded us. There is no remembrance of the men of old, nor of those who come will there be any remembrance among those who come after them." The word of the Lord. This is a powerful reading, isn't it?
You know, I've read that reading.
I'm sure you have.
And I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking, for those that don't, you know, delve into Scripture, I think about the Mass and how beautiful it actually is for us, that if you're there every Sunday, which is mandatory, you know, but if you're there every day like some people do,
yeah,
you get a taste of Scripture every day.
Right.
And it's just amazing how you just go back and then just the words as you were saying it. I remember reading it. I remember reading it even, you know, myself. It's just, it's...
And you know, it's the thing about this, and you got to remember, this is from the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So read it within the, through the lens of the New Covenant, mm-hmm, because this is before Christ, before the Incarnation and the Paschal Mystery. And because there is, while it's so true what he writes, except at the end, and again, I've just come from a funeral, mm-hmm, you know, a mother of 13 children, and I say a nation of grandchildren, who was an immigrant from Mexico, a poor woman. I remember she used to clean Oscar's house, you know.
Wow.
She says she would take on these jobs where she would, you know, but always in the church, because they used to live right over here. I had Mass over here on, mm-hmm, Cleaver, and always here, always praying the rosary, and just the most beautiful, humble woman, and she came with all those children, and as happens so often, she raised those kids. You know, some of them were already a bit older when they came, but I remember the youngest. But the beautiful thing about a kind of an untruth pre-incarnation, pre-Paschal Mystery. That means before the Messianic age, in which we're living in the Messianic age. But when Koheleth ends when he says, okay, even the thing of which we say, see, this is new, has already existed in the ages that preceded us. There is no remembrance of the men of old, nor of those who come, nor of those to come, will there be any remembrance among those who come after them. But actually, in the great Paschal mystery, incarnation, God in the flesh, the Paschal mystery, the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, and the Lord saying, I go to my Father and your Father, there to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be, and I will come back for you. In the new covenant, what we have is, as you can see so beautifully depicted in the mural here in our church, the mural of the triumph of the risen Christ, the saints from the old as well as from the new. So they're not forgotten. They're not forgotten. And we shouldn't forget our parents and our ancestors, our loved ones, you know. It's because in the great Paschal mystery that, yes, of course, the Lord has prepared a place for us at where he is, we will be, but we will be not only just Jesus, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and me, but in the company of the communion of saints, because the goal is, of course, that we become saints, right? That we go to heaven, because only the saints are in heaven. And that's the goal of life. As this is, I always say, you know, and I told them at the funeral, we're not condemned to be here forever. The best is yet to come if we keep the faith. But bring up again, as I bring up so often, that beautiful reading. I just love this reading from the book of Revelation, where John, and remember, John opens, did I open the show? I don't think I said, I, John, your brother, share with you the distress,
should normally do,
the kingdom and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. But in that, in the book of Revelation, because he's a prisoner on the island of Patmos for having given witness to Jesus, and he's has this mystical experience in a cave, and it's from there that he writes the last book of the Bible. And it's the whole, the drama, the battle. The blood and violence and victory and heaven, and he's drawn into heaven. He's brought back down into the battle of the earth, of this life, and but when he, I just love this, and this is what we read on the Feast of All Saints, when John is drawn into the heavenly worship of God, and he sees all these people. They're from every nation. That was every nation, tribe, tongue, and anyway, the universal, mm-hmm. Representing the universality of God's people. And one of the elders, there's four elders in heaven, and he says to John, who are these people, and where are they? Where have they come from? All these people all dressed in white with palm branches. It's all, it's figurative. It's a symbolic language. It's a lot of cryptic language. As well, in the book of Revelation, he says, who are these people? Where did they come from? And John says, well, sir, you know better than I. You're there. I'm, you know, you've drawn me into this. You tell me. And the answer was so beautiful. He says, well, these are the ones who survived. They survived the time of tribulation and trial and tribulation. They survived the distresses of life. They survived the persecution. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now, a lot of it certainly makes reference to many of these were martyred, but the fact that they participated in the sacred mysteries of our faith, the Holy Mass, because in the Mass we're mystically being washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a perpetuation of the Paschal mystery. So that, and as the Church teaches, and in the celebration of the Holy Mass, in Mass, again, to remind everybody, means what? Mission. Missio. Right. We're people with a mission by virtue of baptism. And so we come to renew our covenant with the Lord and to offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, our spiritual worship, as we heard a couple of weeks ago from St. Paul, and that just stays with me now because that's exactly what we do. We offer, and people, this is what we have to keep. We can't say it enough. We have to keep saying it. This is what this is what happens when we go to Mass. It's we go to in gratitude because, you know, we have the invitation and the privilege by virtue of baptism to participate in these sacred mysteries, but we our participation is that we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord, even though we may not feel holy, we may not feel like we're pleasing to the Lord. That's why we begin the Mass with the an act of contrition. That's why we, before we receive communion, we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but say only the word, my soul will be healed. Repeat the words of the centurion from the gospel. And so we acknowledge that we're not worthy, but on knees we receive Jesus. But and again, so we're being mystically washed in the blood of the Lamb, the perpetuation. Jesus died once and for all to save us from our slavery to sin and death. We're still sinners. We've yet to die. And so the salvific and sanctifying grace is perpetuated in the Holy Mass, where we're being mystically washed in the blood of the Lamb. But when I say mystically, I don't mean it's because it's a mystery, but it's a reality. It's a reality. And he feeds us so that we can be, in order to reproduce his life in us, to send us out into the mission to give witness, to be his witnesses, to be a light in the darkness, to be the salt of the earth. And so this is, but the beauty is that at the Mass, everybody's present, mystically present. We can't see with our eyes. We can't perceive with our senses. Even the Lord's presence in the Blessed Sacrament under the hidden guise of bread and wine. Now we may have there may be an epiphany, a manifestation, an experience, a mystical experience that people have from time to time, you know, with the Eucharist. But for the most part, we go in faith because truth is truth, and the knowledge is sufficient, right? We accept in faith what we cannot quite comprehend, because it is, as we call it, the sublime mysteries of our faith. But the point is that in the Mass, the whole of heaven is present. You know, the angels and the saints and the Blessed Virgin Mary, our ancestors who have died. And I always say there's only one spectator, only because it's a sacred drama, only one spectator, and that's God the Father. Everybody else participates in union with the principal character of the drama, which is Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And all this is done by the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. But to make the point, finally, I come to this point, and that is that we don't end where Koheleth ends, that there is no remembrance of the men of old, nor of those to come, will there be any remembrance among those who come after them. No. In fact, you know, what the world has taken away, God will give back to us. And so this should be a source of great consolation, especially as people come to the end of their lives. You know, it's a kind of, there's a point where you begin to look forward. You begin to all of a sudden recall, perhaps, all those who have preceded us. And you think about that, too, you know, when, you know, people live a long life, they end up being quite alone, in the sense that their friends or their parents and their grandparents have already preceded them. And so, yes, they may have their children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever. I tell the people, there are more people waiting for us on the other side than those who are left behind. We're as Jesus even said in the farewell discourse, my little flock, be not afraid. I will not leave you orphans. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you will be, and I will come and take you. You know, I will take you. I don't condemn you to be here forever, because he also says in that farewell discourse, you're going to have trouble. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. This is part of the reality. We have to accept that. Mm-hmm. But take courage, have peace, because I've conquered the world. But he also says to the Father in his prayer, his high priestly prayer to the Father, he says, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world yet. And he makes it very clear that he's praying not only for these present there with him, the apostles, but for all who will believe based on their word. He says, I'm not asking you to take them yet. No, but I do ask you, please, Father, protect them from the evil one. He says, and I've mentioned this to you, and I just think it's so beautiful, because Jesus says, Father, I thank you. Can you imagine this? You know, Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, this is before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's just instituted the Holy Eucharist and the very thing we're talking about. And he's getting ready now to go down to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to say yes to the Father, with anguish, in fear. And he sweats blood. And he says, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, thy will be done. But before he goes down there, he says, and you just got to hear this, and you got to think about this, reflect on this every day. He says, Father, this is his prayer to the Father. He says, Father, I thank you. I thank you because they are your gift to me.
Wow.
Those are powerful words that Jesus would say. Imagine, you know, each and every one of you listening out there in radio land, whatever, that Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, he's saying, you know, he's calling you by name. He says, I thank you, Father, that you gave, that Tony, look, I'm looking at you, or Nick, that they're your gift to me. They're your gift to me. I thank you. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
It's amazing. But I'm not asking you yet, not yet to take them out of the world, but do protect them from the evil one. Their time will come. Their time will come. Our time will come. And as we pray in the Ave Maria, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. You know? So we'll take a break, and with that, I'll come back and remind you, what are the two certainties of life? Do you remember those?
Yes, I do. Right. I was at Mass.
You were at Mass. Okay, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support of Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change invites you to join the Rosary Rally on Saturday, October 10th at 12 noon in front of the outdoor cross at St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. Join us as we join people around the country praying for peace, as Our Lady of Fatima requested. In case of rain, we will meet under the portico outside of St. Stan's School. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. Join us Saturday, October 10th at noon for the Rosary Rally for Peace.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here is an important message from Winds of Change. The upcoming election could be a turning point for the future of the United States. The pillars of our faith are the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage. We can't tell you who to vote for, but we can tell you, as a Catholic, to be registered and to get out and vote your faith.
Yes, vote your faith. And our faith is about life from the moment of conception. I mean, maybe talk about that. Maybe it'll come up now. I don't know. But two things. Okay, so I'm going to ask you this question and give you maybe a half a second to think of an answer. So everybody listening out there, two things are certain in life. What are they? Only two things. Okay, half a second is over. What two things?
Death and taxes.
Yeah, we pay taxes and we die, okay? So there's not much we can do about that.
No.
Those are realities. Last week, I ended with a quote. I say last week, it might have been the week before because I was in Rochester last week, right? Was I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I ended with a quote from the Old Testament's book of Sirach, which we heard in a couple of weeks ago at Mass. And it's true. You do this and you'll be a saint, okay? What did the book of Sirach said? Remember your last days. Set enmity aside. Remember death and decay. And cease from sin. Stop sinning. Think of the commandments. Hate not your neighbor. Remember the Most High's covenant and overlook faults. By the way, the Most High's covenant is renewed every time we go to Mass. That's the covenant. Mm-hmm. And again, I just love this, as we heard it a couple of months ago, and it stays with me now, that the food unknown to man but made known to us, the mysterious food unknown to man but made known to us, sustained us through the desert. But that was a prefiguration for Jesus, who gives himself as food and drink, my body, my blood, my soul, and divinity. And in the book of Revelation, the hidden manna, right? Mm-hmm. Again, sublime mysteries, a hidden... but still, this mysterious food, a mystical food, mysterious food, hidden from men but made known to us. And we want to make it known to us. We want to make this known to others. But in any case, remember your last days, set enmity aside, remember death and decay, cease from sin, think of the commandments, hate not your neighbor, remember the Most High's covenant, and overlook faults. Now, the church teaches, this is another, let's see if you guys know this out there, I'll give you half a second to answer this. The church teaches that there are three things required of us in life, three things required of us in this life. And they are, okay, half a second is over, right? To know God.
Love God.
To love God.
And serve God.
And to serve God. So we may be happy with God in the next life,
mm-hmm.
right? Our joy in heaven is that during the journey of life in this world, we kept the faith. We fought the good fight. We carried others into the beatific vision.
Mm-hmm.
And beatific vision is a mystical term to describe heaven. It means to see God, to see God. As Scripture assures us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. And so that brings me right back to the why of what Koheleth says. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear satisfied with hearing in this life. But in the next, yes, the eye will be satisfied, the ear will be satisfied, the hurt will be satisfied. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love him. I think of Maria Robles, you know, because three decades, I'm here 30 years, witnessed her faith, you know, which was constant, was consistent. And I have to say, at the end, she had severe dementia and Alzheimer's. So she would even come to Mass and she didn't know, she couldn't even receive communion. So, but anyway. So we are reminded. What is the greatest deprivation in life, the greatest poverty in life? What would that be? It would be ignorance of God,
mm-hmm.
to not know God. So this is, again, of Maria, since I just had her funeral. She was a poor woman, really, truly poor woman, not at all rich in the eyes of the world, poor in the eyes of the world, but rich in the eyes of God. She had what, which is what gave her that inner joy even in her sufferings. Because when you get a big family, you suffer a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you got 13 children, lots of grandchildren. A woman, mother, really suffers. There's nothing like the suffering heart of a mother. But the greatest poverty in life, the greatest deprivation in life is ignorance of God. And at the same time, we cannot know God unless we seek God who is nearer to us than we are to ourselves. This is really a paradox. Because on one hand, we're made by God and we're made for God, yet while he's closer to us and we are to ourselves, we have to search for him. And that was the reading on Sunday. And this is the nature of the exile, because we're in the exile. Until we pass from this life to the next, we're estranged from the Lord, yet he is not estranged from us. He's leading us home, yet in the interim, we have a lot to do. We got much to do. The very proof of our love for God is evident to the extent that we are in the work of life. Not only that we contribute to the proper ordering of society, but making disciples of others so that we are all on the same page and in the same story. And this is what's very sad about what's happening in our country and throughout the world. We're not on the same page. We're not in the same story. Life is disordered because, in a massive way, we've walked away from God, obviously. And if we go back to the Renew My Church eventually, and maybe tomorrow I'll talk about this, but some of the data, it's starking, but not shocking, because we know it's real. So life is God's drama. It's always unfolding until Jesus comes at the end of all things, when the world passes away and his kingdom is fully made. It's the very words of Kohelet, nothing new under the sun. And this really is the mystery of all mysteries. And I say this all the time, so I guess maybe it's all so wonderfully mysterious, but the mystery of all mysteries is that the cosmic upheaval, which is always a reality to varying degrees in the day-to-day assault to our mind, our body, our spirit, and our soul, are in the nature of the exile. And this is something we got to understand that. Then we wouldn't be surprised that people are saying, why am I suffering in my mind? Why is my body suffering? Why the soul, the spirit? You know, why so much fear of the pandemic? I mean, my God, we suffer. We, you know, this is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to. So I say the mystery of all mysteries, that this cosmic upheaval, or the assault to the mind, body, spirit, soul, it's part of the nature of the exile. But God knows the story, and he will see us through turbulent seas, uncharted territory, the dry of the desert, the dark of the night, or the dark nights, night of the soul. It's an adventure we accept because we have confidence God is with us. And when I say that, you know, I there's this image in the movie The Hiding Place. It was a fantastic movie about a Protestant family. I think they were Presbyterians who hid Jews during the war. And I think they were in Holland. And they were all sent to the concentration camp because it was found that they were hiding the Jews. And Corrie ten Boom, who was the only one that survived, the only member of the family that survived, there's a point where she's losing the faith, and they're working, you know, like slaves, and she's losing her faith. There's a whole lead up to how the drama. She writes about it. This is all based on a true story. She writes the book, The Hiding Place, and it's a very powerful moment in the movie when she's, there in her rags. They're I think cutting rocks and all that, and she says something. She cries out like, "Oh my God," you know, or "Jesus," or something. It was just the anguish that she's losing her faith. She's lost her faith, and because her sister had died, everybody died, and this woman who was a couple of people down from her heard her cry out. and came to her and took from her hair a crucifix. This woman was a Catholic woman who had the crucifix hidden in her hair and showed it to Corrie Ten Boom. And that's what brought her out of her despair, or her, she was on the verge of despair, but brought her back to understand the why of her suffering, to unite her suffering to that of Jesus. You know, so the point is that God sees us through in this life and into the next. He says good. He brings good out of evil, life out of death, light out of darkness. We're not defeated even in death, even if we should die in, you know, the throes of sickness, or let's say war, or whatever. It's death is not the end. We got to keep the faith. But in any case, it's an adventure that we accept because we have confidence that God is with us. And we need to impart to others the knowledge of God and to proclaim the good news that life is a gift and well worth living in spite of the trials and the tribulations, that all things end well for those who love God. As I just said, right? As the scripture says, all things end well for those who love God. In fact, the distresses of life, if endured in God, bring wisdom and interior peace. And you know it, don't you? Because you like to read, what are the most popular autobiographies is when people write from their own suffering, you know? This is what we relate to. We identify with that. So our faith, our Christianity is not, if we live it with authenticity, it's never an escape from reality. We get into the trenches, we fight the good fight, we commit ourselves one to another in spite of our rough edges, our idiosyncrasies, our quirks, and even our sins. But it's a daunting task, really, that's for us to live the faith, except that the Lord, you know, because we want to impart to others the knowledge of God's story and the mysteries that are inherent in the unfolding drama. And it's for this reason that we've got to seek the Lord while he may be found, as we heard on Sunday, call on him while he is near. And the point is that God wants to be found. He wants to be found. He's nearer to us than we are to ourselves. So, anyway, you want to add anything to that?
You've done it beautifully.
Tony, because we've got a little bit. Well, should we take a break, Nick?
Or, let's take a break.
Or is it too late? We'll just keep going. We'll just keep going. Yeah. So, anyway, if I go back to I guess I'm speaking this in view of all the things that are going on around us. And, you know, as I mentioned to the, I've probably mentioned this many times on radio, but I'll mention it to the, when we had the confirmations and the Holy Communions, and I'll every so often mention to the people at Mass, because I just love the fact that we got that trip, the mural of the saints. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, look at these, they went through pandemics. They went through and they survived insurrections, wars, persecution. Some of them died in persecution, but they're remembered. They're not forgotten, and they're still with us. And they intercede on behalf of us all. We have to. This is so again going back to, you know, vanity of vanities. Says Koheleth, all things are vanity. And he ends with, there is no remembrance of the men of old, nor of those who come, will there be any remembrance among those who come after them. But this is pre-Messianic age. This is pre-Messiah, before the Messiah, who shows us that, yes, if you have nothing to live for, or if you have nothing to die for, you don't live.
Really live, right.
You don't live, and so people despair. They despair. How do we bring to our people the reality that, you know, suffering is part of life, and it? But if we suffer with God, in God, for God, through God, then it's redemptive. It's redemptive, and we're always the better for it. But we've got to be willing to enter into the suffering, and you don't have to look for it. It's going to come, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to come. We can't. Again, raise your hand. Is there anybody, I've asked this question before, but I think I asked it on Sunday, didn't I?
Yeah, once.
Anybody, if has there ever been a day, have you ever had a day where you didn't have some suffering to your mind or your body or your soul or your spirit? If you've never suffered, raise your hand. You know? And if you do raise your hand, then look to the person next to you.
Exactly.
And ask yourself, has that person suffered or is suffering? And if that person has or is, well, then, you know.
But isn't it that that's the way it is? I mean, we want to do things. We want to. The world tells us that you don't need to suffer. You can do this. You can do that. And in reality, life is about suffering. I mean, one could make it as pretty as possible. But in reality, if you want to follow the lie is, you know, you can have everything.
Yeah,
it's not the case.
Which we don't have time to go into this now, but yeah. I guess it begs the question, you know, why are people today so committed to destroying businesses? It's because there's something really missing, something really lacking. There's a horrible, terrible deprivation of knowledge of God. The experience of God.
I mean, I see it more so now than ever. It's God's gone. I mean, and for people that don't see it, it's sad. It really is. But for people that are in tune and see, after all these years of trying to do something, obviously we weren't doing the right thing.
I read today, this morning, that there was a somebody praying the rosary, I think it was, and a protester came and bit her.
I can see that.
I mean, just out of anger, bit her in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
If this isn't demonic.
Yeah. Yeah. Or when a while ago, somebody got punched for praying or they had the rosary.
Or even just life itself. You know, there was that image of the guy that threw a firecracker into. There was a guy that was a homeless guy sitting on the sidewalk, and this guy came by and just threw a firecracker and it exploded. I mean, these are things that this is pure evil.
It is.
It's pure evil. But I just want to remind everybody, and this is something we heard last week. In the gospel, first of all, you know, remember. So I don't know how much time we have here, but everything is dark.
12:57.
Okay, here we
12:57.
Go. Okay, so I think I can finish this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, what did we hear last week in Scripture? That as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. In other words, God knows us and knows our limitations. He knows our weaknesses, yet He assures us of His nearness to us and His desire to work in us and through us in spite of us. All He needs is our goodwill to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him. We have to just forsake our selfishness and turn to the Lord for mercy. Or as Jesus, and this was the gospel last week, and just always remember, because we can all kind of regret sometimes where we've been. As Jesus reminded us in the gospel, it doesn't matter at what hour of the day or what stage of our life journey He wishes to bestow generously His life into ours, that we in turn plant and cultivate the seed of His life in others. If anything, today, with all that's going on, there's a dire need to return to God, no matter what hour of the day, no matter what stage of our life journey, He wants to give us His life. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong. but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.